Kenny and worship team this morning. Would you pray with me today? Father, we've come together as a family to worship you today, to honor you, to bring glory to you. Father, we realize that every time that we enter into a gathering, there is something for us to know and something for us to learn through the experience. Maybe it's something that's prayed today or spoken today or sung today. But yet it's your message for us. Father, I thank you for speaking to us, for encouraging us, for strengthening us. I recognize that people, for all kinds of reasons, show up at church on Sunday. There's an opportunity to give you praise because of your goodness. There's an opportunity to seek help because of a need. But we recognize that in the giving of glory and of the seeking of the need, that you're God, that you're in control, and we trust you, and we place our faith in you, and we thank you. So for the needs that are in the process of being met, Lord, we thank you. For the needs that have been met, Lord, we give you praise. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for loving us, for living in us. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, our students are on their way back before too long, to arrive somewhere approximately at 3:30. We have over 100 middle schoolers and high schoolers and a whole host of chaperones. I've been receiving pictures text to me, had some this morning as well, of just all the good stuff going on in Eagle Eyrie. So fall retreat has been good, and look forward to them getting home. We want to pray for their safety as they come back, but they did travel in style. Moms and dads, did you see those big old buses, you know, and they were in there? It's good. Man, that's the way to travel to camp or fall retreat, isn't it? Isn't it good? Safety, and we like that. This morning, we want to continue with our series on monsters, and specifically today, we're looking at the fear monster. We have looked at a couple of monsters over the past couple of weeks. We've looked at the me monster. We have looked at the stingy monster, and so today we kind of turn our attention to the fear monster. Now, what is the fear monster? The fear monster is this innate, sometimes fear that comes over us, whether it's a particular situation or circumstance, or whether it's some sort of phobia that we might have about something. But fear is really dread. It's this innate dread of something. It's being afraid. It's being scared. When people were asked about life's biggest regrets, one of the biggest regrets, as we've already talked about loving more and giving more, was that they wished they had learned to trust more. Maybe to have a little more faith. Lord, give me more faith. Or in a sense of willing to take a risk and to step out and trust God in something that may be a little challenging for us. The fear monster. It's real. You know it. And maybe the way to illustrate the fear monster is I want to show you a short clip from Charlotte's Web. You know, they all did that the first. Aw, that's good. Okay, Charlotte's Web. Check this out.
How can he be in every cornfield?
It can't be the same guy. It can't be.
He's wearing the same hat. I'm telling you, he is following us.
I hate that guy.
I have got to get some guard, Owen.
All right. This is crazy. There's two of us, right? Trust me, there's two of us. And there's only one of him.
I don't know, man. He scares me. He really does.
Just think about that corn.
Yeah.
Corn.
The corn.
Corn.
All right, let's do it!
Let's do it!
Let's do it!
Aboard!
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 Man, he is good. I bet he's laughing at us.
Don't look at him. Don't even give him the satisfaction. Just think about something else.
What is keeping you from the corn? I have in my pocket some unpopped kernels of corn. Kind of as a reminder of the potential and the opportunity that God has placed in my life, and yet it is unrealized because of fear. We all experience the scarecrows. All it takes is a subtle shift of the wind, and we are ready to abort the journey to realize our potential and the opportunity. That's the fear monster. And that's what we want to talk about today, in overcoming the fear monster. In fact, not just overcoming, but defeating the fear monster. Because we all struggle there. I want to share with you a story. It's found in 1 Kings chapter 17, and we'll look at beginning in verse 8. It's a story about Elijah and a widow. And it really is a story that is grounded in fear. Fear of failure, fear of loss, fear of being left destitute. And so if you have your Bibles, great. You can turn over there to 1 Kings chapter 17. It'll be here on the screens for you. But as we read in verse 8, beginning in verse 8 of 1 Kings 17, it says that the word of the Lord came to him being Elijah, "Arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Stay there for a while. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you," or to give you nourishment. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he, Elijah, came to the gate of the city, behold, there's a widow was there and gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Would you bring me some water in a vessel that I may drink?" And she was going to bring it. And he said to her, called her and said to her, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand too." And she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat and die." Well, she is an optimistic person. And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear." That's not a command, but it's a statement about past, present, and future. Go and do, which is a command, to depart from here and to do in order to make something or produce something, as you have said. But first, make me a little cake of it, this little bit of flour and this little bit of oil. Make me a cake of it and bring it to me. And afterwards, make something for yourself and your son, for thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day of the Lord sends, till that day the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did as Elijah said. And she and he and her household ate for many days. And here's the reality. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. God is teaching Elijah and this widow a lesson in trust. God has been teaching Elijah, and Elijah is told and commanded to go to Zarephath, and so he picks up and he heads to Zarephath, and he finds this widow that God has spoken to him about. And he asks her for something to drink as he sees her gathering sticks by the city gate. And as he asks her for something to drink, she turns to go get something to drink. And he says to her as she's turning away, he says, "Oh, and by the way, bring some food for me, please." And when you say a morsel, it's kind of a handful of food, not just a little crumb, but something to eat, something to snack on. I can see this mental image of the woman turning towards him and saying, "I have nothing baked. It would not be uncommon in that day to ask for food or drink from somebody by the gate or in the square, because it was a town of hospitality. That's what you did. That's how you practice hospitality to others. It was part of the culture. She said, in fact, not only do I not have anything baked, but I don't have hardly anything left at home. I just have a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil. In fact, you see, I'm picking up sticks here, and I'm going home to bake my last loaf of bread. We're going to eat it, and we're going to die because I have nothing else. The last of my earthly possessions and provisions are gone. There's zilch, nothing left. Elijah looks at her and says, do not dread, do not fear, do not be afraid as you take these steps. But I want for you to go, and I want for you to do as you said you were going to. But when you get back to the house, this is what I want you to do. I want for you to bake some bread, a little loaf of bread for me, a little cake, and I want you to bring it back to me. And then once I have had this cake, you go home and you make another cake for yourself, for you and your son and your household. And Scripture says that's what she did. But she went that day to bake the cake with this promise that God said that the jar and the jug would never run dry. The flour wouldn't run out and the oil wouldn't disappear. And so by faith and trusting God's word for her, she went and did. And guess what? Elijah ate, the widow ate, her son ate, her household ate, and not just for one day, but multiple days until the rain came. God provided. This is a story of fear. It's a fear of a widow who is fearful about using up the last of her provisions and having nothing for her family. She has no income, no resources, nothing left. The last of what she had is getting ready to be produced for the last meal. Her fear is that she would have nothing to give her child. Do you know what fear does? Fear limits us. In essence, fear limits us. It limits our perspective. It limits our vision. When I think about the woman, I think of her at the city gates, and I think about her picking up sticks. If she's picking up sticks, she's picking them up off the ground, and she is looking continually at the ground. All of her vision is tied to the ground. That's all that she is looking at as she is picking up sticks in order to take home, in order to bake. But she is also limited on the vision of what's in her cupboard. Just a little bit of flour and just a little bit of oil. The fear of not being able to provide, the fear of running out of provision has limited her vision in such a way that all she can see is what's at the ground at her feet and the empty cupboards that are in her house. Fear limits. But there's something about faith and trust that somehow opens up the gates and opens up the window and opens up the vision. Even the writer in Hebrews tells us that faith is confidence in the things that we do not see. There's someone here this morning that needs to have confidence in what they can't see. For too long, you've allowed the fear of what you do see, the fear of lack, the fear of need, the fear of failure, the fear of want, to somehow limit your vision. It's time to look up. And it's time to trust. And to trust Him more. But see, fear limits, but fear also quits. Fear causes us to quit and to sit down. When I think about this widow, I think about the fact that her ambition is that she would find enough firewood to go back and start a fire and cook just a little bit of flour with a little bit of oil and make a little cake, and then she'll die. That's her goal. Because she has nothing left, she'll die of starvation. What she has done is she's decided to quit. She's decided to give up. She's decided not anymore. You know, we've all done that from time to time in life. I can think very, very vividly being in elementary school. And for some reason, curriculum design inspired our PE educators to somehow come up with very creative games. Just give me basketball, kickball, football, and dodgeball. And I'm good with those. But throw in these crazy wild games, and you know what I did as a kid? I sat down. I didn't know the rules, I didn't understand the rules, and it was so different, all this kind of stuff. And what was my biggest fear was that I did not want to fail. And so my fear of failure caused me to sit down and to sit it out. Some of you this morning are sitting down on God because of a fear of failure. You're choosing to quit. When God just says, trust me. I think also about fear also paralyzes. It kind of stops us in our track. It keeps us from moving. It keeps us from visioning, from looking towards the future and the hope that's potentially there. Just in this woman's case, she's paralyzed. She can't think past the moment because of her fear. That, my friends, is a fear monster. That, my friends, is what we must overcome and what we must defeat. But we cannot defeat it ourselves. We can only defeat it in the power of Jesus Christ. And so what I want to talk to you for just a few moments about is defeating this fear monster. Because this is significant to right where some of us are in this room today. Fear has limited you. Fear is causing you to quit. Fear has you paralyzed. And it's time to change your vision. It's time to get up and go. It's time to move. And so what does this passage teach us about overcoming or defeating the fear monster? The first thing that I see out of this passage, it gives us instruction about overcoming the fear monster, is that I must learn to embrace my fear. I must learn to embrace my fear. I must be willing to step out and embrace my fear. I must be willing to step out and grab a hold of it and face it face to face. Fear. When I think about the widow, her greatest fear in life at this junction, at this point in time, was that she could not provide for her family and her children, her child, her son. That she had no more provision, no other way in which to earn income, nothing to be able to provide them. She knew in her house she had this much left, and it was all enough for one meal, and that was it. Her greatest fear was that she would have nothing to feed. But you know what God called her to do? In embracing her fear, what God called her to do was that he called her to literally give away the very thing that she was holding on to because she was afraid. The fact of the matter was God needed for her to give away what was in her cupboard in order to show her that he would provide for her, that he could be trusted. She had to embrace her fear. She had to bake a cake first for Elijah, and then come back and make one. So how many of you think she just used a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil? Or how much do you think if she's making it and kneading it and putting it together and putting it over the fire, she's like, he's down by the gates. I'm just going to cut this in half and here and give him a little piece and save the scraps. We've got some here at the house. Because who knows if we'll be able to bake another. Scripture says that she baked a cake and took it to Elijah. This widow embraced her fear. She took it head on, looked it straight in the face. But here's what I want you to find out and discover about embracing fears. Is that when you embrace your fear, you never embrace the fear alone. But you always embrace it with Christ. As a believer, as somebody that is born again, somebody that is a Christ follower, that's placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, Christ resides in you. He is with you. And as you face these fears, you do not face them alone, but you face them in his presence. You know, there's a very familiar passage. How many of you ever heard of the 23rd Psalm? Do you remember verse 4? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not. Oh, say this. I will not. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they protect me. When you stand and embrace your fear, you do not embrace it alone, for you embrace it in his presence. If there's ever a word enough or an encouragement enough to embrace fear today, it's the fact that Christ is with you as you embrace that fear. So listen, get up and embrace the fear. The second thing that I think about this story is about remembering the truth, remembering the words that have been placed or given to your life. What I find interesting about this story is as God is teaching Elijah about trust, and he's teaching the widow about trust, he told Elijah, while Elijah was still on the road, hadn't even left for the journey, oh, by the way, I have commanded a widow in town to give you something to eat. This widow had a heads up. She knew that she was going to be asked. She knew that she was going to have to provide some sort of food and nourishment for somebody that came along. So she knew ahead of time. It wasn't like she just found out there's some guy that showed up on the street and asked her for provision and help and hospitality. She knew it was coming. It was knowledge. When you go and face the fear monster and you embrace the fear, go in the knowledge of the truth that has been spoken into your life. What are the promises that God has given you? What are the promises God has spoken to you? What is the truth of his word as it's applied to your situation and where you are? See, where God sends, God always gives a word. Where God moves, God always gives a word. As God prepares, he always gives a word. You need to hold on to that word as you embrace that fear. And hold on tight. The other piece that I see out of this story on fear and defeating the fear monster is that it's kind of a lesson about abundance and provision. It's kind of a lesson about faith. Embrace your fear. Remember the word of truth that is spoken into your life. And take a step of faith. Just one step. Take one step in that direction. See, I thought about this woman, this widow, and what would have happened? What if she thought that Elijah was crazy and she disregarded the truth that was spoken into her life and she decided she'd go home and bake the bread, feed it to her family, and they'd all die? But there was a great step of faith, a great step of trust that she decided that, no, she would step out. She would follow the direction, the word of God that's planted in her life, not only once but twice. And she decided to test God at his provision. And so, the jar was never spent, and the jug was never empty. This may be perhaps one of the greatest insights about God's provision in our life. Do you know the promise that God gave this widow? God did not say, I want you to go back, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to fill your jar with flour, and I'm going to fill your jug with oil, and then you can go out and serve. God said no. He says that your jar will never be spent and your jug will never be empty. Here's the principle about trust. When the jars and the jugs are full and we work out of abundance, there is no trust involved in abundance. We thank for the provision, But our idea is that we provided and we've got it taken care of and we can care for it. But what God is teaching here is in trust and faith, that there is a trust and faith for daily provision in life. What God promises is that the jug and the jar will never run dry, will never be spent, will never be empty. I promise you, you will have stuff in them every single day. Can you imagine what it was like getting up in the morning? What would you do? Run to the cupboard and look. What's in the jug and what's in the jar? God's right, they're not empty. There's just enough for today. Some of us spend so much time waiting for the jugs and the jars to be full and to somehow serve out of abundance when God has simply called you to serve from jugs and jars that will never be empty, that will never, never run dry, that will never be spent, but that you'll depend upon Him daily as you live for Him. And that is a powerful truth to take home. Don't wait for the jugs and the jars to be full. Just simply trust God that they'll not run dry, that they'll not be empty, that they'll not be spent. Facing our fears. Defeating the fear monster. We have to choose that we're not going to live limited. We have to choose that we're not going to live in such a way that we're paralyzed. We have to choose that we're going to live not as a quitter, but that we will identify our fear and that we will face it head on with Christ in His power and His strength, confident in the promises and the truth that has been spoken into our life, but simply just not thinking about it or wishing about it or looking towards it, but taking the step of faith, not waiting for everything to be perfect and just right, but trusting God for the daily provisions. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough trouble of its own. Do I have an amen? When you leave today, I've got a big old bowl of unpopped popcorn. I want you to take a few kernels. We've decided that we're going to try to see if we can pop popcorn in our dryers at home. It takes a while. You got it. That's good. But as you take these kernels of corn today, I want you to be reminded that God has potential and opportunity in your life. What are the fears that are standing in the way of you getting to the corn? What are the things that you're looking at that you're fearful of, and God simply says to you, trust me. Just believe me. I'll make it work. Don't wait till you can do it on your own. Trust me, the jars will never be empty. The jugs will never be dry. Just trust me. There's a reason why God had us at this point, at this juncture in our series today. Because I'm confident there are people in this room that are battling with fear today. I want you to know the fear monster is not of God. And it's time to step up. It's time to embrace. It's time to remember God's truth. And it's time to take a step of faith and defeat the fear monster. All y'all, as we'd say down south, should be eating some corn today. Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you for Scripture and its truth. I thank you for the example of the widow and her fears and how she overcame. I thank you for, Father, demonstrating yourself that you are trustworthy, that you are faithful, that you are bigger than any fear that is in our life. And so, Father, today may we take you at your word, embrace these fears, and take a step of faith as we trust you, as you're faithful, in these aspects of life. Jesus, we love you. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. This morning we're going to have a time of invitation, and it's an opportunity for you to respond to God's call upon your life.